right away in the beginning, what you want to do is you want to call on somebody to let them know that I may call on you if you're not paying attention. To keep them from looking at their phone and not looking at you and listening, right away, we're going to call on somebody to make sure people are paying attention. Well, we made it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Say hello to everybody here on Facebook, on YouTube. We got a good one for you guys tonight. Selling over Zoom, part dose. I can't tell you how much there's more talk about selling over line. And the reality is we may be here for another 6 months, another 12 months, hopefully not. But we're going to prepare you because I think the fourth quarter, there's going to be a lot of selling over Zoom, video conference, whatever you want to call you. We got the tips between Craig and Zach, who's doing more than countless calls a day, a week. With employers, I figured, you know what? We've learned a lot. Let's bring you some more ideas. What's working? What's not working? Because, shit, we did the last one, I think, 3 months ago. So we've learned a lot. Let me say hello to everybody in the crowd here that's joining us on Facebook. Go ahead and say hello below. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and just type hello in the chat. Today's show sponsor, other than Achieve Health Alliance, go ahead and check us out, AchieveAlliance.com. Give us a buzz, your go-to self-funded experts. We got the solutions for you and your clients coming up on the fourth quarter. You want help? Give us a buzz. We're here. Let me welcome everybody, my guys, to the show here. Gentlemen, you ready to rock or what?
Yo-ho-ho.
All righty.
What's going on?
Don't be shy. So, listen, you guys are out selling. You guys are out warriors out there selling over Zoom. What's going on, Craig? Give me an update.
Hey, every day, multiple times a day, getting on the phone. It's a great tool. I mean, it really is. You can play videos. You can get out your iPad. You can draw pictures. You can get engagement. And that's really what it's all about. You don't have to fly anywhere. You don't have to do your renewals live, right? We talk to brokers every day, and people have learned to adapt. And the expectations of your clients are such that they're willing to accept it. So it's a great opportunity to leverage your time and use technology.
What's been, I guess, you know, the determining factor, the number one thing that you would say that you've learned doing probably 100 meetings over the last couple months, what's changed for you? What do you think is new? What is different that you've developed on? I know you're a student of the game. What have you done differently? Give me one thing, and then we'll go into it.
I've learned to play testimonial videos right in the middle of doing a presentation for somebody new. That's
beautiful.
Cool.
And that's gone over well for you?
Yeah, definitely, because it's not, you know, look, I'm not pitching. You know, what I say to people is, I want you to think, I'm going to play a video. And what I want you to think about is, does anybody talk about your health plan the way they talk about ours? And then hit play, let my clients do my selling for me.
Beautiful. I like it. Yeah. Learning how to run that video is another skill. I'll tell you, make sure you test it before you do it, because you're going to run into technology issues just like we do on this show, even though we've been doing it. By the way, Heads Up Advisor just crossed the 2-year mark. Little happy birthday to Heads Up Advisor. We've been coming live to you on a weekly basis since then. Hopefully, it's been helpful. What's up, hey, Felipe, Bill Hughes, Bruce, Matt? Let's see. Bruce, Matt, Wade, Scott Ogburn, calling from South Carolina. Ben. Micah,
I've been trying
Eric.
To grow a beard for 2 years, and I'm not any farther along. Look at you.
There you go. Bill Hughes, 350 life consulting gig today by Zoom. Beautiful. There you go. Easy peasy. If you know what you're doing and you've got your script and you're practicing and you're a pro. You know, I watched a video yesterday of a technology company doing selling over Zoom, and those are some of the tips we want to bring you today and some of the things that we're going to talk about. Zach, what are you learning? Give me an update.
Well, I think the big thing is you got to, one, turn the camera on, be personal. The number one thing on TV, if you realize it, Netflix and Hulu and all these streaming services, is people like to watch reality shows and documentaries. So they want to know you're real. So turn the camera on. And I think when you, if you're presenting something or having a video or a PowerPoint, I think it's important to make sure that you turn it off, right? Once you're done sharing your screen, like turn that off and let your, you know, don't hide in that little like 2-inch block, like let the screen get big again so you can have a conversation and get it to be as real as a face-to-face as you could possibly get.
Hey, you mentioned a couple of things that are freaking time bombs. Okay. My worst Zoom experience in the early days. When you share your screen, it is possible to turn off Zoom, but your screen is still shared. Always remember to turn off the share, right? So I had a particularly challenging HR executive to which immediately when the presentation was over, I started typing my email to the broker about, you know, what a buzzkill HR was. And so, well, like I do a lot of times, I typed it, I retyped it, I sat there, I just let it sit there, I looked at it, came back and changed it. 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I get a call from the broker and said, oh, I just want you to know you didn't turn off the share on your screen and the HR manager saw the email that you were typing.
Whoops.
That's where you got to learn. Yeah, so, turn off sharing.
Craig, that's a great point. Like one of the things I do when I'm getting ready for the call, if there's things that I'm going to use for it, like a lot of times people will have multiple, you know, you have like multiple tabs open in like your browser with like a presentation, pull those off, like don't, and make sure those are minimized. So like if for some reason you click that down, that, you know, you don't have whatever you look at in your personal life, up on the screen, because you never know. You know, how that person's gonna take it. You just want the material that you're gonna use for the presentation. The other thing too is that it's really good to make sure that you have two monitors if you can, because then you can dictate which one you can share from. So if you do have that other stuff that you have going on, you can make sure that's on the unshared monitor so that you're in a situation where if you're digging for something to pull up because you want to show them another part of a presentation or an old document, they don't see you scrolling through all these files and God knows what's on your computer.
Yeah, totally. You got to have two monitors. Don't even bother playing if you don't have two monitors, right? If you need, you know, $129, see John, he'll give it to you. Okay. So you got to have two monitors. It's really simple to also turn off your email. If you have the kind of email where it shows up on your desktop.
You mean when it pings and it keeps doing it like it's doing it right now during the show? And I don't want to kill you.
Well, no, worse when it shows you a little brief, like 3-sentence highlight as to what the email is about, right? So turn that off, because when you share your screen, it's probably on the other monitor and those emails pop up. I've had clients who've had embarrassing moments because of that. the other thing is, it's really simple. Like I do presentations and I'll have a PDF, you know, or a spreadsheet open. And then on top of that, behind that, I'll have testimonial videos, which is a different, you know, web page. And then I'll do a deck, PowerPoint slide. So I can go from the PowerPoint slide to the spreadsheet to the videos, and they're all already open. So you're just clicking on an icon. You make it really simple. You fly back and forth. You turn off share. You go back and you continue your conversation.
Well, it sounds like you've mastered it to an extent here, maybe not so much, but why don't we talk about, we talked about some of the mistakes and stuff not to do. I'm a believer too in guys is test and practice it. I mean, when I've done webinars, I am doing practice sessions, right? Webinars would allow you to do practice sessions. Shout out to my friend Megan Chiarello, who I was talking to yesterday about webinars and ones that we did 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, and kind of how we were ahead of the game and stuff. But we've learned a lot since then. So we've got a good, we beat our learning curve out here, but you guys are going to have to ramp it up to get some success. So the best way to do it is just practice it. And hey, Zoom has a record. Remember we talked about in meetings, recording yourself to go back and listen to so you can get better and see what you did wrong. The greatest thing about Zoom is now every meeting you have recording. Do you have a sales coach? Do you have somebody that you want to run by what you did in the meeting so they can watch it over? You can go watch yourself. I'll tell you what, I got to watch myself every one of these shows. Every one of these shows I watch over, usually the same night. One reason, to get better. And it's scary, especially at first. It's very scary to watch yourself and hear yourself talk and hear your own voice and then think of all the stupid things you said. But that's what's going to get you that much better, because what you do, and again, it's the same thing I did in poker, was what we did, hand histories. Write down the hand history, every move you made in the hand, and you'll find out what you did wrong in the hand and why you lost. Same thing from sales. Go through the video and look at the different things you did wrong. And, you know, I always like to use one of these pads here that have the line in the middle. And, hey, Ben Franklin, what you did wrong, what you did right, and tweak what you do. And it's just, you're just going to keep getting better and better. When you're in poker, you're never going to eliminate all the mistakes. The goal is just to eliminate as many as you can, right? Instead of making five, you make two, and you're going to win a lot more hands. Same thing in sales. You want to win more meetings, more clients, you just got to eliminate the errors. What do you say, Craig?
I say don't be a putz and be cheap, right? So Zoom kicks you off in 40 minutes for the free one. Pretty embarrassing if you're going to do a long presentation. You go, oh, can you hang up and call back in? I've been on those calls. Just pay the money. Pay the money so there's no timeline. And remember, recording isn't necessarily legal in all states, right? So somebody from Florida the other day said, I noticed this is being recorded. And I said, well, yeah, it's an automatic setting in Zoom. Well, you have to ask for my permission. I'm like, in Florida. I'm like, oh, no problem. I just turned it off. I said, I think
technically they see it. You're showing, and that's permission. If you have a problem with it, they got to stop. But hey, if they're screwballs, it's an automatic setting. Too bad. If you're not using the paid version, you probably should be watching the show. That's amateur night at the Apollo.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it very far, but let's get into it, guys. Paul Siegert just joined. Paul told me about a case today, closed over Zoom, going to get the signatures very soon, but it's happening. It's happening, guys. If you work on your strategy, it can be sold over the phone. Was it a broker of record? No, it was a consulting contract, which we talked about. That one. He had closed another one, a new client in Oklahoma, and he's in California. Again, never met him. Closed it by Zoom meeting. He's testing it. He's doing it over and over and over. If we had more room, I would have brought him on because he's doing it as well. And the reality, guys, this is a new time. It can be done. Sales on technology services have been doing this for a year. Billion-dollar companies. So let's not say to ourselves, yeah, right, maybe not me. It can't be done. So let's get into it. What's up, Jess? What's up, Daniel? Craig, let's talk about this. We get on the Zoom. Let's walk through it.
Yeah.
How long are we waiting?
Yeah.
Talk to me about, am I introducing myself? Give me the first 30 seconds to a minute, the awkward phase. What are you doing there?
So a lot of times you're waiting for people to come on, right? So rather than it be quiet, and again, it's your own personality. If you're comfortable and you go, hey, where are you guys at today? You know, where's your office? Right? And they tell you what state you're in, and you know, you can shoot the breeze. Sometimes, you know, it takes 2, 3, 4 minutes for everybody to get on the call. And whoever the host is saying, okay, look, we're going to get started, right? For the purposes of everybody's time. Everyone's here except this person. Let's get started. And very good idea to introduce everyone and go, just so everyone knows who's on the call today, let's just take, you know, 10 seconds, introduce yourself. And whoever the moderator is, you know, you should do that. So everybody's on the same page. I have a problem now that I've done so many of these. I would not wait more than 6 minutes. Yeah, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. You're gone, done. If they don't show up, you turn it off, you send them an email, You don't sit around there waiting like a desperate person who has nothing else to do. So that's number one. Number two, the most important thing, I think, I've done so many of these now, it's really important that they show their screen. If you're on a call and you're the only one whose camera's on, you have no idea if they're turn on their camera. You have no idea if they're checking emails, reading. You just have no idea. And I've been on a number of these calls where 20 minutes in, they ask me a question that is so perfunctory. It's so basic that I know there's no chance they could have been listening. So one of the things our pal Ray Kober's really good at, he goes, hey, let's, out of respect for everybody's time and commitment to this meeting, let's have everybody, you know, turn on their cameras. It's okay if it's a bad hair day. There's no judgment here, right? You know, I've seen girls in hats and, you know, it doesn't matter, but you kind of almost have to give them permission to have a bad hair day. It doesn't, you know, but out of respect for the time of this meeting, let's show our screen. Because if you're talking to an empty screen, they're probably not paying attention.
I love it. I think it's a great point because, you know, if you're not doing that, people are checking emails, doing all the things so they can get away with it. If it's kind of like when you speak, right? My speaking coach, Jess, who did the last, check out the first one, Selling Over Zoom with Jess. Jess said, look, right away in the beginning, what you want to do is you want to call on somebody to let them know that I may call on you if you're not paying attention. Okay. So to keep them from looking at their phone and not looking at you and listening right away, we're going to call on somebody to make sure people are paying attention. And that's essentially what you're doing here is, and you could do that, try that in advance to the meeting in the notes. Hey, please be prepared to have your camera on out of respect to everybody else. And Craig, what was the line you just used?
You know, out of respect for everybody's time and commitment for this call, this meeting, let's have everybody turn on their cameras. Something like that, whatever you're comfortable with, but you just kind of hold everybody accountable.
Yeah, I put the pressure on the people right out the gate. I ask them, I'm like, hey, well, you should turn your camera on. And I'm like, what do you have going on in there? And they're like, oh, you know, a lot of papers on the desk or something. I'm like, oh, you know, no big deal. I think people liked seeing the realness. You know, they realize we're all human. We all have things going on in our offices and kids running around and dogs. It's especially in this environment, it's like literally no big deal. We're all good. And once you get that camera on, it makes it a little bit more, feels like it's face to face. So.
Yeah, you got
permission, make a joke about it and go, look, I know the dog might bark and your kids might come on screen. It's okay. Look, you know, you're working from home. Stuff happens. Don't worry about it.
It's so easy to do it right now because everybody's working from home. So, you know, it's like, this is new. Hey, go ahead and turn the camera on. You know, don't worry about the background. And like, if you have a bad hair day, my dog's going to be here. So I'm working from home as well. And just let them in. On this show, the reason I talked to some of you guys throughout the week, and guys I've never spoke to, never met, and they say, John, I feel like it's so great to talk to you. I feel like I've known you for a year and da-da-da. The reason that is because they get to see me on the show, and they're up close and personal with me, right? I'm centered. I'm outright. You could see me right in the face, and they connect and create a relationship with you virtually. It's the same thing you want this prospect to do. When you're over these Zoom calls, because it's in place of the meetings. And even after this pandemic happens, if you're able to be successful with this, you know, this may be a better route for a lot of people out there, especially if you're going after other markets. Like myself, I'd love to go after Texas markets. I got 5 direct contracts there that I can't do in Jersey. I'd love to be able to go after people in Texas. So I may consider that with the time of going virtual with this. Actually, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that, but I think that's a great point for me. Go after Texas business. Watch out there, Bill Hughes and you guys out there. Anyhow.
Giddy up.
So let's go into it. Back to that intro, right? Now, are we introducing ourselves? Are we telling ourselves, you know, we've got limited time, okay? Are we going into our firm, this, that, and the other? How much time are we spending on that, Craig?
10 or 15 seconds. Okay. 20 seconds max. This isn't a time to tell you, you know, when I got out of college, I want, you know, and then nobody cares. Yeah.
How long you been doing it? This, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Guys, think of the shock and awe package we talked about. You want to send them something in advance. You want to email them in advance. Here's my page. Here's about me. Let's take that out of the way. I sent you an email a little bit about me and my firm. I don't want to, you know, bore you to death. I always say I'll bore you to death for 10 seconds. Let me give you 10 seconds to tell you about me. But that's it, guys. Nobody really cares at the end of the day. They're on the call. They probably research you. If they need to ask questions past that, great. This is a different type of selling. What do you say, Zach? What do you think?
Yeah, you gotta set an objective. Like I had a call this week with an employer, and right out the gate, you have to set the objective of what the goal is and what you're trying to accomplish on that call. And it can't be like about some shiny object. Like, I want to tell you about this shiny object. It has to be like, I want to have a conversation with you about XYZ because it's going to help you get to this. And once you state that, I think they're able to let their guard down because they know exactly kind of what decision they have to make. So for example, you know, when we're talking to employers about, you know, our program, we essentially want to get them to the point where they feel comfortable enough, know enough about it, that they can have a conversation with the broker that they work with to decide, is this a route they want to go down or not, right? And so when you state that objective, it gets it right out there exactly what you're going to be talking about for the duration of the time that you're spending with them. And it's not them sitting there thinking, oh man, this guy's going to be going through 87 slides talking about God knows what.
Yeah, I agree. The last thing you want to do, I remember I was on a call with a broker last year from California, and we were talking on 4,000 Life Group, and he goes, well, great, we're excited to get started. I got 48 slides to get through. And it was like, oh, why would you even say that? It's daunting.
I'm the no guys rule. So there's so many ways to do this. You can go, you know, look, I'm really excited to be on the call today. Let me tell you a quick story. Another company in town, manufacturing just like you. We did this, dropped this, created this EBITDA, this free cash, boom, equivalent of 4 full-time employees. Whatever your story is, boom, you got a story that says, hey, I work with somebody down the street from you, same industry. And that's your intro. Your intro is a story. So don't feel like it's all mechanical, right? Take advantage of whatever you can for each particular call.
We'll give a quick Trojan horse award to another than Paul Seeger. He's got a whole ton of them, but another Trojan horse award going out to the man, Paul Seeger. I think 20K consulting gig he told me about today. So congrats to you. So basically what Zach is saying too is clarify is setting the agenda of, you know, we're going to start on time and we're going to run through an agenda, and I'm going to agree on kind of the things we're going to go over and talk about to make sure it's a fit for you. And you just go through a couple little things to let them know what to expect, right? The last thing you want is what? To go through a 60-minute meeting and them not get what you want and they're not aligned with what you're talking about. They want to talk about something else, but they didn't speak up. So I bought an email program the other day for about $2,000, and I go to he started to go into, again, technology company. They already have all this pitch down, this Zoom stuff. They got it all written out. They know what they're doing. I go, look, I forget the guy's name. I go, look, I'm buying the program. I'm a buyer. I'm buying it. Here's what I want you to answer for me. I already know about your program. I already tested it out. Tell me all the bells and whistles and the cool things it does other than other people's. And that's all I need to hear because I'm buying the program. Okay. And he was prepared to go in and give me a pitch and didn't realize I was already a buyer and didn't understand the pain points and needs that I had. Because what will happen sometimes with aggressive people, especially like me, they are going to come right out and say, look, here's what the problem that I'm having. How are you going to fix it? Here's the pain that I have. And if they're going to do that, great. Because the other way you're going to do that is through a series of questions and asking for permission cordially to go through those questions to find out more about your business, see what's going to be the best fit for you. Obviously, the solutions that you bring, the questions of pain are around your solutions. But if he's going to outright come out and tell you, it's like cheating. So let him tell you what's on his mind if you get that type of buyer. Correct?
Yeah. I would never book a one-hour meeting. Man, that's just that's like scheduling a dental office visit. I tell people anywhere from 12 to 30 minutes. I did one today, 30 minutes. Large brand, you'd recognize it. Lawyer referred me to a lawyer at the firm. He said, I've only got 30 minutes. I said, okay, it's plenty of time. We were done in 19, you know. I held up my clicker, my timer. I said, here, I'm going to make sure we end this on time. We got done. He goes, I understand. What do you need for the next step? Boom, boom, boom. We're done. 21 minutes.
You get one of these, bell goes off.
That's the one.
Start practicing. You're able to get the meeting done quick and even showed, hey, look, I'm going to do this. I'm sure you're sick of Zoom meetings. I'm going to do this in 15 minutes. And if Zoom, I don't, the bell's going to hold me accountable.
You can see it's a great performing tool. Yeah, you can see too, when if you're running a PowerPoint and you put it into the slideshow, it times it. But yeah, you're right, Craig. Like, you know, we've been doing our presentation with employers and it's somewhere between like 18 to 20 minutes. I had somebody ask me that today too. I said, look, we don't need an hour. I said, I book 45. I said, we'll be done in 20. I said, I leave the last 25 if we want to have a conversation about potential next steps or anything that you need to be, you know, need to have clarified. But my piece can be done in that time frame. And to that point, you know, you should make sure that you're trying to, you know, do it a bunch of times with other people that may not, you know, that's your friend, your peer, you know, that can just give you some like honest advice. That way you can record it so you can kind of see where you're coming in, you know, a couple times, and you realize like, hey, I'm in that 20 minute time frame. Cause let's face it, even the you know, like anything that I do like on a personal level to try to get better, like, you know, sales things, webinars, when guys go past like a half hour, I start zoning out. And so they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, if you can get it down to a 20-minute slot,
yeah,
the faster the better, right? Keep tweaking and tweaking and tweaking to see what's working, what's not, and what you can cut out. Because the quicker, the better. And a lot of it, too, is just like in speaking, it's telling stories. So my speaking coach would teach me is when you do panels and stuff is you're making a point and then you're telling a story around the point. Okay, because they're not going to remember numbers. They're going to remember stories. So in our PowerPoint, I don't want to pull it up. Last time I got booted off. So, but I'll pull it up next time and maybe we'll have Zach go through it. Zach's really good at going through the story and we paid to have it built out and have a story to it that hooks them. And you're also checking in with them. Again, you're not going 5 minutes, 10 minutes of talking and just straight silence because you will lose them. So questions and some interaction has to happen or, you know, you don't know where you are. I always like to say, does that make sense to you? And be quiet. Let there be silence.
You can also too, in your slides, you can find spots where you can almost ask them a question that they're going to give you the answer that you want. Like, you know, simple stuff. We all know in the business we're in, like, you know, you put up a slide of, you know, what a fully insured premium looks like and compared to a broken out one with self-insurance, right? And you have claims being the biggest block. And so just asking the group that question, if I was trying to reduce the amount of money that I was going to allocate to my healthcare budget next year, which one of these blocks would I focus on? And, you know, it's obvious they're going to say the claims and say, so then it can lead you right into the next part of your point because, you know, and so you always need to just look at that with your slides. Are there spots where you can kind of ask questions or get an interaction with what you've kind of built into the story?
And if you need to, just put the questions on the slide and take off all the text. Just put a picture and then put the question on the slide. They'll silently read it to themselves and then you'll ask them. And then you can never forget. Whatever helps you, you know, on your pitch.
Yeah, I mean, and the script, well, I always like to say use a script. And, you know, we had this conversion script that works like a charm. I mean, Paul's turned it into so much money and just using stuff from a script. Now, What he's not doing is reading word for word off the script. So what you want to avoid, and I've heard, and I heard it through that email gentleman that was selling me the email, he was a little scripty. And I'm not saying the script is bad. I'm saying it's not personable enough. You've got to get it with a little umph and a little ums and ahs where it doesn't sound like a script. And what is? How do you do that? Practice. So if you're not getting enough reps, you need to practice on your own. If you're an independent guy, when I was independent, I didn't get that many pitches. I didn't get that many reps as the wholesale side. Craig's talking to 3 to 5 guys a day. Zach's talking to a bunch of people a day giving pitches. So he's just boom, 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 boom. And you just keep getting better and it flows better. And it just flows like a wave. And when you get to that spot, it's just like being a great salesman. You just get better and the confidence and certainty comes through. And it's just like the in-person meetings. Now it's just different. So yeah. That's my 2 cents on that. Talk to me about slides. What are you guys doing? What are your thoughts on what you were doing before versus maybe what you're doing now from a slide perspective?
For me, it depends on who I'm talking to. So if I have a CFO on the call, it's very short, it's very pointed, it's very specific. If I have HR, I don't even explain what Catalyze Health does and the impact that it has until I've pre-framed the entire conversation with points that I hope they recognize when we talk about it, that I explain, I understand all the issues they have to deal with. And so once I feel like I've met them where they're at, then they're ready to hear what it is that we do and how we do it. But until then, that's my personal philosophy for HR people is you start in with features and benefits and all they can think about is that next lunch with their broker pal friend that they hug. So I don't like beauty contests.
Yeah, I think too, you have to go where you have to be the person that's telling the story, right? So whatever you're presenting, you're telling the story. Don't have your slides be something that you're just reading off of with all this text. It's, yeah. I mean, but it happens. You'll see, you just look at your slides. If there's like a lot of words on there, that's not it. You want it to be that it's almost that you have the words that they can't see and you're reading them the words that they can't see based on the visuals that they're looking at, because it's just, you see that a lot. These just a lot of times these people are going to have multiple words all over these pages and it doesn't make any sense. It really needs to be a visual, because what you're trying to appeal to is you're trying to get them to rationalize their emotions, right? Just rationalize their emotions. And it's through telling that story with the visuals that you've put. But to Craig's point also, you need to know your audience, right? So if you're talking to a CFO, you know, you might be able to get a little, you know, numbers, you might be able to pull up some spreadsheets and things like that, because that's what's going to appeal to them.
Right. You got to get to the point quick.
See, there you go, Craig. You got to turn that off. See, it's a big no-no. Is that sound playing in your background? You hear it or no? Is that mine? Mail?
The phone ringing?
The mail.
No, oh, that
maybe
wasn't
that's
me.
Maybe that's my computer. Ah. Well, only I hear it though.
That's
good.
A first.
It's not playing through the show, so it's good.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. I think from the slide perspective, is we want to have some pictures to create that impact in their brain to remember the story and what we're saying. I use bullets. So guys, I do this show. Think about this show is a pitch each week. The research that we do for the show flow, right? I'm doing this each week for you. Yeah, maybe I don't have it down because each one is different, but yours you should have down A to Z. But what I do is it's simple. I do bullets. When you do bullets, what it does is it lets you remember the story or the point you want to make, but you're not writing it out, so you can't read it as a script. You just remember, okay, on here I got, let's talk about slides. So that's how we got into this conversation, but it's not something that I read off. So avoid reading off the slides or, you're going to put people to sleep. Let's talk about destination, Craig. How are you selling the destination through Zoom differently over the past, I would say, 90 days from learning?
You know, when you really get good at this, basically we're trying to, you've used the word story numerous times, right? And in order to get really good at this, you're really, we're like a guide who makes the prospect the hero of their own story. Think about that for a minute. It's why features and benefits and showing up and throwing up doesn't work. There's no emotion in that. It's all logic and nobody's buying that stuff. Sure, every blue moon you'll win, right? You ask 100 people if they want to have sex. Eventually somebody's going to say yes.
Right? Not me, that's Craig, not me.
That's not sales success. So we want to make the prospect the hero in their journey and you're a guide. So you've got to interact with them. You've got to pull emotion into the story. You've got to get them to engage with you. And I'm often reminded of a simple rule. Silent. The same letters in the word silent are in the words listen. Whoa. Yeah. Same letters, just rearranged. So if you're not asking really good questions, you're not going to get good answers to make that prospect a hero. So that's what I would say.
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I always kind of, I think in my head too, before the call, like what is my objective today? Like my goal is I want to get them so comfortable with this program that they're going to be able to tell the broker that they're working with that, yes, this is what they want to do, or, you know, disqualify themselves. And so when you state that objective in the beginning, it's almost like, and they agree to that objective, like you can essentially say that at the end. So you can set yourself up for whatever those next steps are, and it's agreed upon.
And it takes practice
take from the
to not you, interrupt you, somebody. You go with,
oh, we're losing yep. Zach here.
Yeah, that's a little delay it's there. Very important.
Yeah, I think we can go back to questions for a second. And having an opening before you're going into your questions, and you have to be, and I heard this on a tech webinar the other day, is you've got to be very careful with your questions. You don't want to ask open-ended questions because you don't have that much time. And they may start going down a rabbit hole that you have no idea what you're talking about, and your solutions don't help them with anything they're asking about. So when you are asking questions, you really have to have a list that you're going to choose from, and you're going to, you know, pivot based on what the avatar is, CFO, owner, HR, pain points and problems that you're going to go to. Now, these questions always lead to a solution, which is what you provide. Okay. But you got to be very careful in these situations of getting them down a rabbit hole, because some people like to talk and they're going to go off on a path. And Jordan Belfort would talk about keeping them straight line persuasion, is once they start going off the path, you got to bring them back down and take them down the straight line. And sometimes you got to loop back. But discovering the pain points, right? I got a couple things written down here. Specific questions that draw out the pain that is based around your value prop, which we talked about. And that's going to have a lot more success if you get them out in the beginning. Okay. And you've got your presentation to back it up, right? You're just tricking them to an extent of all your solution falls at problems. And then you're going to talk about later in the deck and in the slide, or if you have to go right to it, if you got somebody antsy that wants to jump forward to it. Zach, talk to me about some of those questions in the beginning that maybe you're having, or how you're seeing them react to it.
Well, I think you don't, like you said, you want to keep them kind of on the path. You don't want to ask them something open-ended where they could take it off on a tangent. You want it to be revolving around taking them down the path that you want to go down, which, you know, for us is simple, is we want them to understand, like, hey, it makes sense for us to, you know, be self-funded. It makes sense for us to be in a group buying scenario. And I'm starting to realize that if I don't control my claims, I'm never going to win. And so you need to make sure that you frame all the questions that are going to give you those type of answers. So they essentially have the bell go off in their head to say, okay, like, this is why I need to consider doing this. Otherwise, To Craig's point, if it's open-ended, they're just going to go, you know, who knows where, and you're not going to be able to bring them back. You never want to let them dictate the meeting. It's your meeting. You want to be essentially the dictator, and you're running the running point. So you can't let it get off hinged with, you know, all these crazy open-ended questions about stuff that's not going to lead them to where you want them to go.
I love that. Craig caught me. That is, do you want a chance to win? Great question asked a prospect, because in the world you are today, you know you can't win. So we're in agreement that you want to have an opportunity to win. So as you go through your deck, maybe you're talking a little bit about the existing program, right? And you're asking questions that lead them to believe, well, there's no chance to win in this program. And then as we go through our deck, we're talking about what we can do now with the newer program that gives us the ability to win. But having what's called conceptual agreement in the beginning as to what they're looking for, if they're not in agreement with that, you may just want to wrap it up and go on to the next one, because what are we doing? We're just pitching, what do they call it on Wall Street? Just pitching wood here. It's a wood lead. You've brought a wood lead to the table, and you ain't going to sell them because it's wood. So let's see.
Don't keep talking. Another thing Zoom allows you to do, when you did live meetings and you had a print handout, right? If you wanted to show certain things, then most likely it was going to be left behind. Zoom allows you to show things that don't have to get left behind. So for example, sometimes I won't show logos. Sometimes I'll show a handful. Sometimes I'll show 20 or 40 or 100, right? Page after page after page. But I get to decide on the fly during the Zoom call just how much certainty I need to apply to the skeptic. And of course, when they say, send me a deck, I send them, you know, four or five slides that are the most succinct explanation of what we talked about, not the whole damn deck. So you get to play with that on the fly when you're using Zoom and the likes. And that's a big advantage.
Having, I think we'll move forward to here as we're getting towards the close is next steps. Always have some sort of close to the next step. We talk about BAMFAM, book a meeting from a meeting, but what is the next step? If you're going into the meeting and you don't have a strategy now as to what your goal is for the next step, then what the hell are you doing? You're just giving a pitch and going, oh, well, I hope they liked it. But what's next? It's so easy. You got them on the computer. You got them on the calendar. Great. The next step for us here is, based on everything you told me, is for us to conduct a quick analysis. I forget what Paul's doing. Just a cost of inaction slide is essentially what it is. And you get that back to them. And then you're booking the next call with them to go over it, over the cost of inaction, a consulting agreement, or what have you. But having the strategy on the close of next steps is very important. Craig, talk to me about your next steps.
That is, that's everything. It reminds me, John, since you played poker, it's like, what's the old saying in like a friendly game of poker amongst friends? All the money's made in the last 30 minutes of the night, right? When guys get stupid. Is that fair, John? They get stupid the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're flipping, picking colors, whatever the flop is, red or black. Yeah.
Okay, so it was so important what you just said. At the end of the meeting, I'll tell you a story. It happened to me this morning real early, talking to somebody in Michigan. And I had the CFO and I had a non-CFO on the call. And this is where it always gets interesting at the end of the call, especially when you have conflicting entities, you know, within the organization. So I already knew the CFO was hot for us. And this person was the internal deal killer. That's why we had the call today, which to get her over the hump. And so when it got to the next step, you know, the deal killer wanted to bring in somebody else. And it's like, well, so if we're going to do that, then CFO, do you want to be involved in that call? Or shall we do what we just talked about and look at the actual numbers, right? I like to joke. I won't even trigger the corporate immune system with the data set I need. You can send me the data, and then in the next call, we can look at your actual numbers on that call rather than bringing in another administrative level person. And so by the time we got done, the CFO was closing the next meeting for us. And of course, they want to see the numbers. So he instructed her, get him the data. So on the next call, we'll see what the numbers look like for us. So that end of the meeting gets real interesting. You just have to remember to force the issue. What are the next steps? Who needs to be involved? That's the starting point of the conversation.
What say you, Zach?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you want to get them to kind of agree to the next steps too, right? And tie it back to that objective, you know, restate the objective of, you know, did we explain, you know, why we're different, why we had this call, and what we were accomplished. Is there anything else we need to clarify? No. Okay. Let's talk about next steps. You know, these are the things that we need to do. This is what my recommendation is for us to be able to move forward to continue this conversation, and, you know, get them to say that, yeah, and get them to commit. And you preferably want it where you're both kind of have some type of like action item, right? So, you know, I have to deliver something, and then they're going to agree that they need to make that decision or have that conversation, you know, by X date or X time. And I think if you can do that, you know, you like that BAM fam, right? Book a meeting from a meeting. You have that next time that you're going to continue to move that ball closer to the goal line. You know, it's a lot easier to score from the 3-yard line than from the 50-yard line. So if you keep moving it forward, you're going to be in a better position to be able to get them to make a decision. And it also makes your life easier too, because you're going to get some people that it's just not going to work for, and that's okay. But now you're close to the goal line. They can tell you no, you can move on and focus on, you know, other groups that you're continuously moving forward. So,
yeah, ask them who else needs to be involved in this decision. One pet peeve I have is when these people respond and go, wow, this was really interesting. Had the conversation today with a health system. I said, well, that's a fascinating word that you chose to use. I said, I tend to think of it as transformational when you can create tens of millions of dollars of earnings for the health system every year. Now, telemedicine, that's interesting, right? But it's going to take you a decade to make as much money as we can produce in 1 year. I call that transformational. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to work harder to save your company money than you're willing to work. So what's the next step? You know, so you pull off whatever you think you can pull off, but you have to be willing to talk to these people like you're a peer.
Yeah. And what we do on a consulting side and in person meetings, what I would do is really just go right into it. And the next step is a consulting agreement. And what I'm doing is I'm setting the next call on based on everything that you told me about. It seems like you need help in these areas. So what I'm presenting to you is a project that looks and smells like this. And what I want to do is go back tonight, think through some of the things that we talked about today. And I'm going to get you over a consulting agreement tomorrow with the things we talked about. And I want to speak with you that next day to walk through it and go forward with it and see if it's a fit. So that's how I would close out. What Paul has told me he's been doing is just doing a modeling, right? Give me a little bit of data on what you have, essentially the cost of an action, your per employee per year. And if you don't make a change, here's what it looks like in 5 years. And then I'm looking for a fee or consulting agreement is what he's going with. And the cost of an action just gives it a little bit more value to, if you don't do anything now, here's what it looks like. Okay. So, you know, you do what's the best fit for you, but I'm telling you right now, if you guys are going to sit around and wait and think that this shit doesn't work, you're out of your mind. I get calls every day. I get calls from guys that went to High Stakes Advising last year in August. Okay. They got no book of business. They don't know what they're doing and they're getting consulting agreements. And yet, I'm going to yell at you guys for a minute. A lot of you older guys, it's like, I can't do it. This is the way I've done it. Who'd I shout out to John Clay? I gave John Clay shit today. I go, look, man, you just got to ask. Just do it. And you will have success. If you ask enough people, they're going to say yes. Go look at my video on Craig, the video I did, what was it, 2 years ago in Times Square? that, oh, by the way, when you listen to the video, I practiced that 50 times. That's why it came out well, just like your presentation should, is you use consulting in every other aspect of your business to lower cost. So why not healthcare? Boom. Bell goes off in her head. I didn't know I can do that because I thought that I have to fire my broker to look at another route of doing it. Or if I listen to your information, well, maybe you're selling me because the only way you get paid is if I change and do what you say. Where if you offer expert objective advice, well, I mean, he's not lying. I'm paying him for this advice. So again, just another way to do it. Again, show sponsor, Chief Out the Line. Shout out to you guys that are placing some business with up. We got the Stop Loss Consortium, Stop Loss Solutions, the Health Plan, Pharmacy Solutions, putting together some great programs for you. Reach out to none other than VP of Sales, Zach Jones over there. If you want to find out more, Chief Alliance, book a call, book a meeting from a meeting. I think we'll end it there, guys. Hope this was helpful. Thanks for joining us. Tune in every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Heads up, advisor. Go out. Kill it, guys. Peace.